One of the things we want to talk about is words that you find you have been mispronouncing your whole life.
Oh, geez.
Oh, that's a good one.
We'll stay.
I say, oh, okay, you can contribute.
I am in so much trouble.
And how people correct you kindly. You know,
we just had that this week. We had Bill Lefsay put the kibosh on it, and I always thought it was kibosh.
Ah, okay.
So I don't know.
Well, as Judy,
kibosh too.
As Judy said in the promo for it, she said, "I've been mispronouncing often," and I said, "How can you mispronounce often?" And she said, "Well, some people pronounce it often."
Oh, Efton. Said,
yeah, in Downton Abbey.
There's a T in it. So
hello,
you would
darling.
Say often.
He pronounces it often. I've never said often. Never
it's a
said
silent
often.
T. They make those. Don't
often.
They make silent T's?
I think they do. I'll buy a silent
often.
T, Alex.
There
yeah.
you go, right?
That's funny.
Well, thanks
so
Lou
who was the one who said that it's right, though?
What, often or often? Often. Well, Judy felt that she had been mispronouncing it, and I told her she hadn't.
Okay,
she
so great.
I think they're both correct.
Aside,
yeah.
I think they are.
You can
I think
say
there's
either.
A couple. Right. Yeah.
Special thanks to Lou and Mike and LA and Jim and Lindsay for producing, and it's all yours, Kath. Have
Thank
a great
you.
Show.
It's time for news. Let's go away to camp in a nice place. Judy's actually in a nice warm place. Judy's in, is it Tanzania or
Tanzania?
Tanzania.
Oh, Tanzania.
Really?
No, I think
oh.
it's Tanzania.
Because you'd say Tanzanian.
Tanzanian?
Right? I don't know.
I don't know that,
I don't
it's
know.
Tanzania.
Well, we'll talk about that in the 10:30 hour, about words that you've been mispronouncing forever. I wanted to talk about camp. And that is, some people take a week of their actual vacation time, adults, and go off to specialty camps. Certainly there are men listening who would say, oh yeah, I went to Randy Hundley baseball
oh,
camp.
Oh, sure, right, yeah.
You know, where the guys go and play baseball and get uniforms and everything else. I had a friend that used to go to choir camp.
Uh-huh.
He loved to sing in his church choir. And every year he would go for a week with a bunch of other choir geeks to choir camp.
I bet that was a wild time.
Oh, I bet you they yeah. were crazy people. Somebody I know posted on Facebook in the last month, heading off to banjo camp. Now, that might be a more fun group than the choir camp. But I'm just interested, who's gone to adult camp of some sort, and what was it?
So I have a lot of Jewish friends, right? A lot of Jewish kids go to camps than Gentile
kids.
It's
a requirement,
kids.
Isn't it?
Right.
Yeah.
So I also know of some adults who, as kids, always went to a certain camp.
Yes.
These camps open up for a week or two for the adults.
To come back.
Yes.
And relive their youthful camping experience.
So the old people that they used to camp with, they reunite. And camp at their old camp.
Wow. In the cabins.
I'm assuming so, yeah.
All right. Well, you know our number. It's 312-981-7200. Have you gone to choir camp? Is that something that takes up a significant portion of your time when you take a vacation?
Sure. There's a quilting camp where you can stay warm at night by the fire, right?
Well, I bet you, I wonder if there's not a quilting camp for people who like to quilt.
That's what I meant.
Oh,
yeah.
I thought you meant where you just go be under quilts.
No. No. That would be a quiltee camp.
That's right. Or banjo camp.
Mm-hmm.
Or I don't know what there is. Is there, we should have asked Mike and Jim, is there a plumber's camp? Is there a contractor's camp? What do you like enough to give a week or several days of your vacation time? What's standard vacation for people? 2 weeks a year?
2 or 3 weeks, I think.
Yeah. That you like enough to go away to
a camp
with other people who love the same thing you love. I know in the summertime, there are young people go off to music camp. They go off and
young
like, Interlaken.
Right.
Right. To Interlaken and places like that. But our number is 312-981-7200. Steve, would you go off to newscaster's camp?
I would not. I live in newscaster's camp.
Okay. And I can't think of anything. Gardener camp? I don't think so. Because I would just be struck by how many people know how much more than I know.
Right.
You know, master gardeners and stuff like that. You can text us too. 312-981-7200. Diane, you are a camping slut, huh?
I am.
You've been to a bunch of camps.
I have.
Like what?
Oh, I've been to jazz piano camp. I've been
to Okay.
World drumming camp. That was fun.
How long?
I go to choir camp every summer.
How many choir camps are there? My friend used to go to one in Ohio.
Well, you know what? I am a member of the American Choral Directors Association. So Illinois has a very nice retreat that we call it.
So most of yours are music related.
Imagine 100 choir directors in one place.
Wow, that's a lot of flailing arms.
Wow.
Yes.
I just want to take a Kathy and Judy detour here for a minute.
Okay.
I went yesterday to see the Chicago Symphony.
Uh-huh.
It was a beautiful Mozart program. And
my favorite.
And full choir, the whole thing, the whole chorus. It was beautiful.
Yes.
But if you sit up in the terrace, which are the seats they added behind and above the orchestra.
Right. I've never sat there.
So you are facing the audience, basically.
Yes.
And you can see, yesterday, the conductor was Muti. You can see his face. You can see his expressions. You're not just watching his back. And as Steve said, his arms flailing. It's a wonderful.
And he conducts as much with his face as
he does. Oh, yeah. A lot of facial expressions.
Yes, lots
and
of
the sound. I didn't notice any appreciable difference in the sound. I thought it was wonderful. So anyway, that was just a little side thing.
It's true. That's I'm a choir director.
Okay.
We make lots of faces.
So when you went to drumming camp, did you come home with a headache?
No, I came home with a trunkload of drums.
So did you go sort of as an amateur?
Yes, I had never drummed. I'm a pianist and I'm a singer and I have never
And a choir drummed. Director.
And a choir director, yes. And I did have a little foray into playing the clarinet in high school.
Okay.
But, so I had never drummed, and
so
it was fun.
Each of these camps was a week?
About a week, yeah, 5 days.
Uh-huh. Okay. All righty. Yeah. Well, that's what we're talking about. Thank you, Diane.
You're welcome.
More and more of our listeners have been to particular camps, and we'll be back to talk to them at 312-981-7200. We're talking about camp, but in this case, camp for grown-ups. People who take a week of their hard-earned vacation and go to, as our girlfriend Diane did, drumming camp, choir director's camp.
No, world drumming camp.
World drumming camp, right. And Steve said, quilters camp.
Absolutely.
Are there quilters camps? And Barbara says, yes, there are. Right, Barbara?
Absolutely. We have an absolutely wonderful time when we go away to quilters camp. We can go for a week. We can go for a weekend. We take our machines. We take wine. We take everything else. And we go. No kids, no dishes.
Is it the same group every year? Or do you meet new quilters every year?
No, there's different groups. You could do one every week if you wanted to, but there's different quilting groups out there, different guilds. Quilt shops also put out a quilt camp for a week or for a weekend. Actually, in March, we're going up to Green Lake, Wisconsin for a weekend.
So do you crazy girls?
Do you quilt around the fire?
We have a lot of fun.
Do you
quilt around the fire?
No, because you can't get all the sewing machines around the fireplace.
We'll bring it inside.
You could if it meant enough to you. So there is quilters camp.
You betcha.
All right. Thank you. Wait a minute, Barbara. Hold on a second. Kristen, can I put two people up at the same time? I've never done that before. I just wonder if Barbara and Carla have met each other at quilters camp. Let me just try it. Hold on a second.
So I didn't think you used a sewing machine with quilting anyway. I thought it was all hand.
It's 2015. Yes.
Oh, thank you very much.
Carla? Hey, Carla.
I think you
yes?
killed.
Oh.
Hi. You've been to Quilters
Hi.
Camp for 40 years.
You betcha.
That's
for
right.
40
I've been
years.
To different ones.
Okay. Now, have you ever met anybody named Barbara?
Of course I have, but I don't know if this is the same Barbara, but I live in Wisconsin. I haven't been to Green Lake for a quilt retreat, but I'll bet we've crossed paths.
Well,
probably. I know that Washington Island off of Door County has a wonderful camp in the summer for quilters with nationally known teachers and things like that.
That one's like Alcatraz, right? You can't get off.
absolutely, you're right. That would be wonderful.
Carla and Barbara, thank you, you quilting crazy ladies.
You're more than welcome.
Okay.
Bye-bye.
Now, this is Marianne. Boy, this is slow. Hold on a second.
It's the cold, I think.
I can't seem to get Marianne up there. Kristen, can you get Marianne for me? Hi, Marianne.
Hi, Kathy. How are you doing this morning?
How are you? I'm fine, thanks, but I've never gone on a choir retreat.
Oh, we used to have retreats every January, the choir I belonged to, and we would take up a big old bottle of rum and a big old bottle of vodka yeah. and a couple bottles of wine and a couple cases of beer, and man, we had one hell of a time.
Did you ever sing? Was there ever any singing involved?
Yeah, we had religious exercises and things.
I'll bet you did.
Right, how could you not sing with all of that?
Right.
But at night, oh boy, out would come the cars, out would come the cigarettes, and out would come the booze.
Wow.
We had a great time.
And this was a church choir group.
Yes, it was.
All righty. Thanks, Marianne.
So,
you're welcome.
What?
Can I go back to the quilting thing?
Because sure.
In my mind, I hear about these people quilting mm-hmm. bees and women getting together and stuff.
Right.
Are you telling me they all sit around sewing machines?
Well, I'm not a quilter, but I have some quilts that were made by quilters.
Right.
And
I thought it was like these women on couches and
just putting little pieces together by hand, sewing
around
them together
and
by
talking.
Hand. There may be some traditional
but
quilters.
But that's not the way it's really
done. I don't think it's the standard anymore. I know that there are church groups, women's groups, that do the actual quilting
mm-hmm.
where you put the cover and the backing and the stuffing in between, and they sit there and do the quilt design on top of the I don't know
okay.
what the top thing is called. Maybe some of our quilting girlfriends can either relieve Steve's concern. Or
no, it's what, you know, you always picture something, and a sewing machine
like
was never
house
in
on
my
the
head.
Prairie. Yeah, yeah. Exactly. 312-981-7200. This is, I'm not exact. Patricia?
Yes, hello. Good morning.
Good morning. You've taken some of your precious vacation time and gone off to scrapbooking camp.
And cooking camp. Those are my favorite things to do.
And how long are you away for each one?
You know what? You could be away for a week or just a weekend.
Or it might seem like a month.
Is scrapbooking still, is it still what it used to be?
Oh, yes, it is. It's a mega, mega. I mean, there are cruises. There are trips. You can go to the other side of the world. Scrapbooking is here to stay.
So,
wow.
I could maybe go to a cooking camp. And so when you go...
Oh, cooking camp is so much fun.
What do you do, Patricia? I mean, are you in a big group around an oven?
You can go to grilling camp. It's just grilling. I'm not a griller, you know, but
are
like
you saying grower?
Grilling camp.
Oh, grilling camp.
Grilling.
Sorry. Okay.
Grilling, yes. Yes.
Well, how complicated is that?
I went to culinary school, and I didn't like the grilling part. You know, I like the actual stovetop.
Right.
You know, learning how to roast, how to braise.
Okay, but so I'm trying to picture, I mean, so if you're at cooking camp, is it like you and eight other people standing around a stove and some guy showing you stuff?
Yeah, exactly. You know, you learn new recipes or you share recipes that, you know, maybe you've had in your family for a long time.
It's like watching the Food Network.
Yeah, exactly.
Except you're with other people. And there's wine.
Yeah, exactly. Lots of it.
That seems to be kind of a constant, doesn't it?
The wine?
The alcohol,
yeah,
right? Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly.
I mean, how do you get away for a weekend or for a week and not have wine?
You know, the scrapbooking thing I find fascinating because it seemed like it peaked maybe 8 or 10 years ago. I know we had a scrapbooking store in Princeton that finally folded because they didn't have enough business. But it seems with online, with all the online options there are for saving photos and, you know, adorning photos and stuff
mm-hmm.
like that,
no.
that actual
no.
scrapbooking.
No.
Okay.
Patricia's saying
there.
No.
No, yeah.
Yeah, no, it's still there.
It's still
there.
A biggie.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
Oh, yeah, it's still a biggie.
All right.
You know, very big money.
Okay. Thank you, Patricia. All right.
Didn't you guys have a camp, Kathy and Judy?
That was just the theme for one of the conventions. We had after the first or second convention, we came up with themes every time, and that was one of them.
I believe I have a Camp Kathy and Judy t-shirt.
Ah, collector's item. Mm-hmm. One of our girlfriends asks, are there drum camps for 49-year-olds? I don't know that it's quite that age specific, but it says, so I can cross that off my bucket list before 50. I always wanted to learn drumming. All four appendages keeping time, not easy. So
one, two, three. Okay.
Four. No more than that. 312-981-7200 is our number. Camp. Kathy and Judy's show with Steve Bertrand today. Judy's off on vacation in an extremely cool place. Just to wrap up to our previous half-hour conversation about camp, about adults who go away to specific camps, band camp, banjo camp, quilting camp. One of our girlfriends from the 217 area code says, several of my married with children friends started going to homemakers camp at the local 4-H camp about 20 years ago. They take blenders for drink mixing. One husband dubbed it Lesbo camp. We realized that the name stuck when a father-in-law explained to his wife after church that daughter-in-law Debbie was at her lesbian camp that weekend. It was just funny because all of the callers, whether it was scrapbooking, church, drumming, anything, choir directors.
Are women?
Are all involved wine.
Oh,
all
yeah.
Involved,
right.
All involved a lot of drinking. And speaking of drinking, I had some friends... We had a group of friends who went bowling this week, which is always fun. It's just always stupid because nobody's any good. So we went bowling, and then we came to my house for chili and cornbread and wine. And one of the girlfriends has a juicer, one of these industrial strength juicers.
Right.
And she brought a container of some juice. And she, I can't even remember what all was in there. And she was giving people shot glasses of it and just to taste it. And I expected it to taste like, you know, like grass and dirt and stuff like that. And it was really good. And I think she said there were carrots in there. But of course, carrots have sugar. I love all the sugary vegetables. But it just seemed to me... She said it was one of those ones that uses up all the parts. It doesn't spit out all the parts.
We have a juicer at home that Sharon uses that I do not use. But it's a pain because of that. Like you get the pulp and the skins. But we have a Vitamix, which is...
Does that use the pulp and the skins
and
everything?
Yeah, everything. And just purees everything.
So you could throw in there. Let me just throw some ingredients at you. And any of you who have juicers, blenders, Vitamixes, Breville is what my friend Lori had.
This is like everyone has a jeweler. Everyone's got their own utensil.
I got a guy.
Oh, you
got to
have this one.
I got a juicer. 312-981-7200. So tell me how this would taste. I know if I make myself a smoothie. I put in some Greek yogurt, some bananas, strawberries, and orange juice.
Okay.
It's like dessert.
Right.
But if I were to leave out the yogurt.
You don't do the sour cream? No sour cream?
No. Okay. If I were to leave out the yogurt, which is like ice cream, and put in, say, carrots and cucumbers and kale, would that totally screw it up? Would that make it taste like puh?
Well, it would change the taste, but it's like any other recipe. You just put it in different amounts. I mean, with my Vitamix, and I haven't been as good as I used to be, but I throw in just whatever's in the refrigerator.
Literally. Like celery? How does it do with celery? Because celery is so stringy.
Yeah, I don't know about celery. I've never done that. But
Kristen,
carrots...
do you do this? Do you do mixing like this, juicing?
I dated a guy that was a big juicer. And he would
briefly for an extended period.
Well, a couple of years.
Oh, so yikes!
He was really, and he had an old before he got the Vitamix. He had a really old one that was a pain in the butt to clean.
Okay,
and it would separate out the pulp, but then he would always take some of the pulp from the carrots and put it back in.
Okay,
it was really good. He would do carrots, a green apple, a little bit of ginger. Mm-hmm. For a little bit of kick. And I want to say...
Kale.
No, not kale. It was a vegetable or a fruit that was watery. But he never added anything like milk.
Cucumbers.
Maybe a
cucumbers
cucumber.
Cucumbers are really watery.
I'd throw stuff in there. And no matter what I would make, it would all come out like this light brown color.
Okay.
Never good.
Right.
But, you know, I'd throw kale in there and spinach and, you know, and anything. It just would make it into a drink. I don't think I use, I might have put milk in it sometimes, but probably not. Usually a banana for thickness.
Okay. Because it seems like if a person did that on a regular basis, that would be really good for you in many ways.
Well, I'm sure, though, if you're putting in bananas and, you know,
Good stuff.
I mean, you can still get very high calorie. Yeah.
Are bananas high calorie?
I think pretty sugary. You know, you could put peanut butter in there for a little nice flavor and thickness. And then
yeah, bananas are high in carbs.
Okay.
So you have
and
to
they're
put
not
the
very
right...
watery. So bananas are okay with like berries and water.
So you put the right things in it. Absolutely. Little protein powder and chia seeds and flaxseed. And
ooh, that would contribute to regularity,
pretty
wouldn't it?
Pretty soon you're talking really a boring life.
312-981-7200. We're just talking about juicers and what else? There's another name for them besides juicers.
Well, there's a Vitamix, which is a blender.
It's
not a juicer, but my Vitamix can make soup.
Okay. This is Julie. Hi, Julie.
Hi. I have a Montel Williams blender, and so it blends everything together, the skin, everything.
Okay.
And I think I always add kale or spinach, but if you put a few grapes or a few blueberries in, a cucumber freshens everything up. A little bit of lemon, it's perfect. You can't go wrong.
You said this is a Montel Williams blender?
Yes.
That's like a George Foreman grill.
Oh.
Yeah. I'm an infomercial junkie, and so I saw him one night at 2 a.m. and bought one. Great. It's a monster blender. In fact, it blends so much that if you leave it in longer than like for a smoothie, it turns into soup because it heats it up.
That's what Steve was saying, right? Leave it in that long, right.
It will make soup to where you have to release the steam. It's so hot.
But now, Julie, hold on a second, because this is Jean. And Jean, you say you shouldn't mix fruits and veggies?
No, because you're wasting the enzymes in the veggies, which are helping with digestion.
Why are you wasting them? You're still swallowing them, right?
Because the fruit negates the enzymes. It wastes the enzymes. You don't get the enzymes. The only fruit you should really mix with veggies is an apple. And, of course, I think, you suggested that... oh, my goodness, my brain.
That's all right. Strawberries and yogurt and stuff like that.
Yeah, you're going to cause flatulence and or putrefaction by mixing those things
together. What is that? What's putrefaction? Oh, like
I'll show you.
Is that when things stay inside you for too long?
That's when you mix fruits with proteins. Mixing veggies with proteins would cause flatulence. Both would cause flatulence. One causes putrefaction, the other causes fermentation. Fruits with veggies causes fermentation. And fruits with protein causes flatulence. I mean, oh my God, my words. I'm so nervous right now.
Oh, really? I hope we're not making you nervous.
Oh, it's just talking on the radio that makes me nervous, I guess.
There's a phrase somewhere that...
There's so many juicers. It's unbelievable over the years. One time, by the way, carrots are going to make your vegetable juicing sweet to begin with.
Excellent.
As I said, an apple will do it as well without negating the...
How about if you take all of the really sweet vegetables, carrots, corn, beets... And what's the other really? There's another really sweet vegetable: carrots, corn, beets. Well, just those three. If you throw them all in a juicer?
Well, they would work in a Vitamix. The thing is, corn is a grain; it's not really a vegetable.
Come on.
Okay. Like you knew that.
So when you are mixing, like I said, you could put any kind of vegetable, and it's so healing. There was an MD who actually healed herself from cancer.
Oh, okay, don't go there. Sorry. You don't cure yourself from cancer with cramp from a juicer.
She did other things besides that.
Oh, okay. Like chemotherapy. Yeah.
I've never heard anyone laugh so hard when they said chemotherapy.
Jean, stick around because you'll probably appreciate that we have a dietitian who's called in.
There's
What?
I was going to say, there's a phrase that someone told me once that I ignored, like, you drink your fruits and eat your vegetables.
Oh.
Which I think maybe was going toward what Jean was saying.
All right, well, we're going to talk to Judith the dietitian, but first we're going
to
do this.
2015.
All your problems is in this little bottle. Vitamita Benjamin. Vitamita Benjamin contains vitamins, meat, vegetables, and minerals. Yes, with Vitamita Benjamin, you can spoon your way to health.
Interesting, because that's Lucille Ball, and she sounds just like Gilda Radner.
I couldn't decide if it was...
I know, it sounds like Gilda Radner. We're talking about juicing and juicers and how that works, and apparently Judith is a little concerned that we're giving out bad information. Hi, Judith.
How are you today?
We're good, thanks. How are you? What did you have for breakfast?
Well, I had a bowl of... oat squares and some milk and a slice of toast.
Okay.
And an egg.
You didn't mix up anything in your juicer.
No, I have one, but you know, it's quite a mess because it throws out a lot of fiber and stuff, which of course you don't want to drink a lot of fiber. It's going to give you a lot of gas. So.
But I thought a lot of fiber aided in digestion.
Not a lot. It's just like you said.
Well, what's the line? What's the line between enough and...
high in sugar. You just said bananas are high in sugar. Well, you know, a whole banana has 88 calories. And I guess if you buy the biggest banana you can find in the supermarket, it probably would go up to 100, 120 calories.
Okay.
But moderation and everything.
Okay, so you're saying that if you threw a banana in the juicer along with some vegetables, although our previous caller said you must never mix vegetables and fruits in the juicer.
That's not a good idea, though. I used to get my juice at a health food store, and I always ask them to put an apple in.
Okay, so let me put it to you this way, Judith. My choices are a smoothie that I'm going to make with a mixture of vegetables and fruit. I'm either going to have that or a bowl of Chex Mix. I'm better off still with mixing the good foods rather than eating the bad food, right?
Why is Chex Mix bad?
It's not bad.
Chex Mix isn't bad?
No, I mean, it's all relative. You have to get an understanding of food. Now, a whole banana is two fruits, okay? And it would do everyone good to look up just a basic... diabetic diet, even if you're not diabetic, because it gets everything into food groups and their equivalencies.
Okay.
And like a small apple equals a half a banana equals 10 grapes.
Wow.
That's what food grouping is what you've got to learn. Now, the lady you were talking to just previous, she was into food combining.
Right.
But if you were going to make a drink in your blender... or your mixer, you'd be better off putting some kefir in there and choose between vegetables or fruit.
How's kefir different from yogurt?
Well, it is yogurt. It has another acidophilus-type culture in there. It might be called bifidus, and they have different cultures in there.
Okay, so it's just about your culture.
Still Greek, obviously.
The Russians advertise that kefir lets you live to a ripe old age. We're not making any claims here.
Now, Judith, you're a dietitian. When's the last time you had a chocolate frosted brownie?
Oh, God. 5 years ago, maybe.
Oh, I'm sorry. What was the best bad thing you've had lately?
A chocolate chip cookie from the Jewel.
Oh, okay.
One?
They're delicious.
One?
I stopped at one.
Wow. Okay.
Yes, they used to call me Willpower and my last name when I was in school. I went crazy when I was a teenager and in my early 20s, but then I went back to...
Does your last name start with W?
Yeah.
Nope. Huh? Sure. Well, why else would willpower work?
Oh.
Like Willpower Waxberg.
See, that was just a fortune teller trick right there.
Right. Willpower Weinberg, whatever.
Whatever it is.
Judith, we're glad you were listening. Thank you for setting us straight.
No, I just want to give you one source that might be good for people with a computer.
Okay. Which
USDA,
many people have.
USDA
uh-huh.
has a website. And it's .gov, USDA.gov.
Right.
And then / composition of foods.
Okay. And that would be a good, fun afternoon.
Well, I would say that you take a recipe and look up all your ingredients.
Ah, okay. And that would give you all those values that you were discussing.
Right.
Okay.
But you can't say that any one thing is bad for you. Depends the context in which you're eating it.
Okay.
And everybody thinks they're an expert because they all eat.
But if you threw a brownie in there with some kale, it wouldn't be nearly as bad as just the brownie.
Well, the kale's full of sulfur, so it may give you an adverse reaction.
So then do we end up with that flatulence?
Okay. I don't think the raw kale would be wonderful in flavor, but you might try it.
Okay.
I mean, it's open to interpretation, but that's why I said the equivalencies of different food groups.
Okay.
USDA has different food groups, too.
All right, so composition of foods on the USDA site.
Yes, and also look up different food groups underneath that.
We will do that. Judith, glad you were listening. Thank you.
So Portillo's chocolate cake shake with a little bit of kale added in and then a few raspberries.
Half a banana.
Okay.
Half a banana and some carrots. That would be perfect. This is Allison. Allison, I'm not sure this sounds all that good. Okay.
Hi there.
What do you put in your juicer?
Oh, so I'm a teacher and I used to get a lot of colds. And so I bought an expensive juicer and I put kale, carrot, and apple. And it's really good, and I find myself being a lot healthier. But you do waste a lot of the pulp.
In the juicer.
Right.
Right.
But you're saying, Steve, in yours, it would use up the pulp? It would pulverize the pulp?
It would pulverize the seeds. Like, I put the apple seeds, the core.
Okay.
I don't know if I'd put the core in, but yeah.
Okay.
I peel it, and then I cut it into quarters. I take out the core.
Okay.
But yeah, it's good.
All right. Allison, thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks.
I was going to say with the composition stuff, I just need to stop eating bad.
Right. Stop eating brownies and eat more kale.
If I'm overeating, which I am, and it's good food, then I figure I'm better than overeating bad food. Right?
Yeah.
So I'm going to mix my vegetables and carrots, and I'm not going to eat Doritos, and I think I'm ahead.
You are.
Thank you.
I'm not a dietitian, but Sue?
Yes.
You put 10 things in your juicer. What are they?
Yes. I put in carrots, apple, pineapple, strawberries, fennel, red leaf lettuce, a chunk of ginger, a quarter of a cabbage, parsley, and romaine lettuce.
And what is that? What does that taste like? How would you describe
it?
But that must be so much.
It is a lot. It's a lot of preparation. So I usually cut up all my vegetables one morning.
No, but I mean, but not even that, Sue. I'm talking about how much do you end up with?
Oh, I end up with about 2 10-ounce glasses, and I make one for my husband and one for myself, and that's our breakfast.
Party.
Oh, it's really good. And you know what? The woman who said you get flatulence when you mix, you don't. I don't get gas with this.
One of the great things about this. Some people are more inclined to gas than others.
Well,
yes.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah, but with this, I don't. And I think it's because of the fennel. The fennel is supposed to take away some of the gas. But this, what's really great about this and why I called is because I have diverticulosis and I can't have seeds. So that means I have to give up strawberries. But if I put strawberries in my juicer, then I have the strawberry taste.
Isn't fennel a seed?
No, fennel is, it looks like a stalk of celery, but it's much smaller.
You know, the bulb?
Oh, I guess I'm thinking of the spice.
Right.
Yes. You know, you can get little fennel seeds. Okay.
Yes.
How's your diverticulosis? Yes. Doing okay?
It's better as long as I watch my diet. I'm pretty good. But
excellent.
This really heals. This is a very healing thing to do. It gives your colon a rest.
Well, to me, anything that gives my colon a rest.
And fennel's also called anise.
Perfect. It's the Kathy and Judy Show.
You're really mean to me off the air.
This week with Steve Bertrand, which is great fun. And just as a follow-up, I love the text. I try to stay on top of the text line. It's the same as the phone line, 312-981-7200. We don't read them all. We can't read them all. But I just want to mention this one from the last half hour. A person says, I don't think you should downplay the importance of nutrition during cancer treatment. I'm totally with that. But this woman said, I stopped her when she said she cured her cancer by, and then it was some nutritional thing.
Right. You don't like it when someone says that their attitude, right?
What do you mean?
Your
positive attitude cured your cancer, right? Well, maybe in conjunction with chemotherapy and other treatments, but alone, it's hard for me to buy that just putting fennel in your juicer or anise. There can make
no you, put it
make,
in your juicer.
Put the anise in your juicer, right? Oh yeah, no, not there. Drink it. So 312-981-7200 is our number. The topic that we had promoted and said that we would be talking about at 10:30, sorry, is words that you've been mispronouncing forever. A couple weeks ago, I wake up in the middle of the night. Nick was on vacation. Matt Bubala was on the radio, and Mick,
Nick, Matt,
no, Matt, mispronounced a word that I had been mispronouncing most of my life until a friend corrected me. And whoever it was, his news person or his traffic person, just corrected him very gently. He was talking...
As he would have corrected us very gently.
Right.
Yeah.
He said, and I just found this funny because I did the same thing. He was referring to the very pricey designer line of clothing and said, Hermes.
Mm-hmm.
And there, I've did that for a great portion of my life until a friend finally said
it's Hermes.
The person says it's Hermes, and I went, oh, okay, thank you.
Yeah, I didn't know that till you started telling
yeah,
that story.
Okay, thank you. And now I know. And I just wonder how many of us have a word that we pronounce a certain way, like Judy said in the promo, I thought it was often. And then we had a little dispute about whether it was often or often. I don't know that I know anybody that uses it often.
I hear it.
I often go to church or whatever.
I've never heard you use it that way.
No, you're right. Yeah. 312-981-7200.
I mispronounced a word in a commercial.
Oh, I think I know what that was.
And people were not so gently reminding me.
I reminded you gently, didn't
you
I?
You did.
Okay.
You did, but listeners didn't.
Oh, icky. What was
so
that?
It
was actually a phrase.
Yeah. Wrecking. I pronounce it wrecking havoc.
Right. It's W-R-E-A-K.
And it's, no, what is it? It's reek.
Wreaking havoc.
It's
yeah.
Wreak havoc. Right.
Okay.
Right.
And then Alma, this was in my early radio days.
Yeah.
I was like, oh, at my alma mater. And I came home and my parents were listening and my mom's an English teacher. She was like, honey, it's not alma mater. It's alma mater. And I'm like,
thanks, Mom. 312-981-7200, the word you've been mispronouncing forever, and whether you were corrected kindly or not kindly.
Old President Bush used to say one that I love. He would say innovative. And we're gonna try
among
to,
other things.
Well, right. But I mean, I love that because it sounds
innovative.
So cool. We're going to try to find some innovative solutions.
Right.
It's hard to say.
Yeah, it is. You know, harder than innovative.
Right.
Right.
But he would say that, innovative.
312-981-7200. What's the word that you've been mispronouncing pretty much your whole life till somebody corrected you? John.
Yes. Well, I got two of them. They're with the L in there. I don't know if I'm going to say them right now, but calf, C-A-L-F.
Like a baby cow.
Yeah, they always pronounce it calf.
You did not. You did not.
And salmon.
Salmon.
Salmon. Salmon.
Oh, how were you corrected?
Well, because someone, I'm like in probably about 30 before like someone at work, we had some paper and I said, oh, it's, you know, salmon colored paper.
And like, we're not laughing
salmon?
At you.
They had to go back and yell at my mom. I'm like, I've been doing this my whole life. You only go visit grandma on the farm and I'd be, hey, look at the calves.
That's exactly what we mean, John.
It would be calves, right? Calves.
That's right. Plural. Oh, that's very funny.
You know, now that he tells that story, I remember mine was slalom.
Slalom.
I always thought it was slalom.
You put an and extra A in during an Olympics
slalom. I would
report.
That's when I got busted covering
that's
the
right.
Olympics. And then the giant slalom.
John, thanks for the call. Okay, this is Marsha. Hi, Marsha. Marsha,
hey,
Marsha. Hi.
I was told by a grade school teacher to say often that the T was silent.
Yeah.
Everybody that I know and everybody that I hear says often.
Steve, what do you say?
Often. But
yeah,
I do know
too.
People say often.
Bob Ferguson.
Yeah.
Engineer Bob, what do you say? Often or often?
You know, I think if it's at the end of a sentence, people are going to say often. But
how interesting. Rather
think,
than say I
in
often.
In the middle, I often, I think, just rolls off the tongue better, don't you think?
Well, So you would say that in that case, a person, rather than saying, I often go to the grocery store, they would say, I go to the grocery store often.
Well, I think it would be more likely if you were to switch it up, unless it's just one or the other.
At the end of the sentence, it's more. That's very interesting. 312-981-7200. Marcia, you blame yours on your teacher.
Yeah, and I don't talk
that
way.
I
say
right, but I've been so glad to hear you this morning say that I was right all this time.
Isn't that music to our ears to have somebody say you were right?
Yes.
Glad you were listening, Marcia. Thanks.
Dictionary.com official pronunciation is
often.
How about dictionary.uk?
Let me look it up.
Look on dictionary.uk.
And I'm trying to work on my enunciation because others aren't, so I say off-ting.
This is Terry. Hi, Terry.
Hi, how are you girls doing?
Fine. Steve's fine, too.
Ish.
What?
Oh, good. Oh, yeah, Steve. Hi, Steve.
What? Anyway. All right, what word did you mispronounce consistently?
Well, I don't know if I'm mispronouncing it or if it's some of the other people. And I say asphalt, but they say asphalt. And I'm like, well, it's a PH, so it's an F sound, but they say SH.
Well, they're like putting the H in front of the P rather than beyond the P.
Asphalt.
No. No, it's asphalt, right? I know asphalt. It's a funny one to say.
That's what I'm thinking. They don't want to say asphalt.
So just say blacktop.
Asphalt.
It's like the dog, the S-H-I-H-T-Z-U dog.
Exactly.
Right,
yes.
Exactly. All right. Thank you, Terry. That reminds me, this goes way back when I first moved out to Princeton. And what the heck was that?
Someone's been eating kale.
That was asphalt really loud.
Oh.
Way too loud.
Oh, from dictionary.com. There is, on the way to Princeton, there is a test track, and it has to do, they have a maybe a quarter mile or a half mile off the road, old road, mm-hmm. and it was to test different kinds of asphalt.
Right.
And I can't even remember what it stands for. But it says, there's a big sign that says, A-A-S-H-O, alongside the road. Right. And every time I see it, because I am a 13-year-old boy, every time I drive by that sign, it makes me laugh.
So how often do you say it out loud when you drive by?
A lot. A-A-S-H-O. Come on. Find a better name for your business or your project or whatever it is, because who can look at that and not think that it's that? I'm talking about words you've mispronounced forever. Mine was Hermes or Hermes. And Kristen's
Slalom.
Kristen's was Wreck Havoc rather than Wreak Havoc. And we're just going to go down this line. These are funny. Hey, Deb, what did you mispronounce forever?
Oh, my God. I still, every time I say it, I have to think about it because I said it forever. Aspartame. I used to call it aspartame.
In Esperanza, it is aspartame.
Or in France, right.
My sister's like, oh, what are you eating? I'm like, oh, yogurt's got this aspartame in it. Aspartame.
So, thanks, Deb. This is Sharon. Hi, Sharon. What word did you... Wait a minute. Boy, this is slow. Hey, Sharon.
Yeah, hi.
What word did you mispronounce forever?
No, I'm coming from the other direction. I want to gently correct everyone who says February instead of February.
Oh, and I think that's probably 60% of the people.
Well, all they have to do is look at the spelling.
Right. It's February, mm-hmm. and it's W. It's not W.
Right.
No, W. A lot of people say W. So, all right. Thank you for that kind correction, Sharon.
So gentle,
very
Sharon.
Kind.
It
Bye-bye.
Was very, right. exactly. Now, I'm trying to figure out.
I know where he's going with this one.
Do you?
Yeah.
Okay. Mike, what did you struggle with?
Well, I think I may have heard Steve struggle with this before.
Yes.
But before I say it, in a debate class when I was a young man, we were chastised for saying often. So we were told to say often. So I'm imagining that there's really two distinct schools of correctness on that.
Interesting. But, okay.
And I also think it's a Midwestern thing, too. I think people on either coast say often, and people in the middle say it's just like code. It's there's a local weather broadcaster that says, not on GN, but who says, and it's going to get colder instead
colder.
Of
colder.
Yeah.
Okay.
So, but the word is, drum roll, please, height.
Height.
With the TH at the end instead of, I've always said height and been ridiculed and beaten mercilessly.
By whom?
I'm just, I don't know whether it's height or height, but everyone thinks that it's height.
You mean people,
no, but
it
see,
is
now
height.
You got us confused because it is height, but people sometimes say, what's the height of that?
They put the
exactly.
TH at the end. They switch the last two letters.
So which is it?
It's height, like H-I-T-E.
And you started by pointing fingers at me.
And I'm sorry. I'm sorry.
That's all right.
And you would say, what was your example, Steve?
Well, you say, I mean, what's the height of that? I mean, I'm really not sure there isn't a word height.
Kristen, can we check dictionary.com for the correct pronunciation of H-E-I-G-H-T? What? You don't think?
No, I just have trouble with this computer. Makes it.
Oh, okay. Kristen is.
There was one final thing.
Yeah, Mike.
And that is that the usage of asphalt can be used in an earlier conversation when someone makes a smell and they say, well, that wasn't your mom's fault. That was her asphalt.
Ba-dum-bump.
Height.
There's your drum roll. Wait
you're
a minute.
Here right
we,
end,
here we go with
good.
Dictionary.com on height. Say it
height.
Again.
Height.
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 Like H-I-T-E. It's not height. Okay?
But is there a word height?
No, there's not.
Okay.
Unless you want to make it one.
Height. What's
Karen,
the height?
Hi there.
What word was consistently mispronounced by your husband?
Okay, this is hysterical. We were coming back from Tennessee, driving north on 57, and he says, well, we've hit Iraqis County. And I looked at him, and I said, what are you talking about, Iraqis? He goes, well, that's what the sign says, Iraqis County. And I thought he was kidding. I said, it's Iroquois. He goes, oh, is that how you say that?
That's like you go to the, order the fish sandwich, you order the yeo man. I'll have the yeoman. Man.
What's that?
The yeoman?
Here's another one.
Oh.
Here's another one.
Yes.
I was at a grocery store, and this woman was standing in front of me, and I almost died laughing. She says to me, how much longer for that rotisserie chicken?
okay.
I said, you've got to be kidding me. Rotisserie chicken.
Rotisserie.
And we have family down in Tennessee, so every time we drive back, everyone in the car is like, we're at Iraqis County.
Karen, almost home.
Thanks for the laugh. Our number is 312-981-7200. This is Jenny.
Hi,
Jenny.
Hi. I had this roommate in college that mispronounced so many things, but the two I remember most is she'd always order Italian beef with gardenia instead of giardiniera. It wasn't very good.
Yeah.
Smelled great, though.
We never corrected her because it was so funny. And then, but she'd say, one day she was just talking about it. She kept saying this word viola, but it didn't go with what she was saying. So I'm like, what are you reading? What are you saying? She'd say, the play was, and then viola. I'm like, oh, my God. It's voila is what she was saying. She screamed viola with an exclamation point behind it.
Solve the puzzle.
I thought she was talking about an instrument, and then I'm
of
like,
course.
Go with what you're saying.
Viola. Oh, God, that's hilarious. Thank you.
It is hilarious. Okay,
all right, we'll wrap this up with John, pronounced John. John?
How you doing?
Hi. What word did you have trouble with?
I can't say it. Pre-rescuing.
No, you said it right. Go ahead, say it again. You said it right.
Pre-rescue it.
Yeah, one more time for us.
Pre-rescue it. I can't. My wife's probably laughing right now.
Is the word prerequisite?
There you go. That's what I'm trying to say.
You had it, John.
Isn't that funny? And your brain's just on this loop that it's going to go back to pre-rescue-esque.
Thank you, ladies.
John, thanks for telling on yourself.
Bye. Bye.
Okay, bye. See, this is where we used to have the books.
Yes,
music.
Right.
That's right. And now that Steve has moved his books feature to...
It's just a hole, isn't it?
Business. Like, yes, it is. But
sad.
This is a good time then for us to turn to Steve and say, what are you doing on the business lunch today?
I'm going
to
talk to a guy who sold a startup for... He's one of these guys.
Okay.
$400 million.
Oh. Okay.
Think of that. Think of that.
And what does he do now? Did he start another one?
The whole country goes crazy when someone buys a lottery ticket worth that, right?
Right.
And this guy... Yeah, so really, that's not what I'm talking to him about. He's got a new app coming out that I think it debuted Thursday. And it's a way, it's a sort of a secret way to save money. It taps into your checking account, and there are these algorithms.
That sounds kind of scary.
I can see, you know, when you say it out loud now, I guess
it
is.
Right.
But he's got an algorithm that they monitor your spending and your saving and sort of the regular level of what's in your account. And when there's a little bit extra, they take it out. And it
and
goes
put it in their account.
And then he's got four. And then he's got $400 million.
He's going to sell it.
No, actually, they go into Wells Fargo is one of the banks. There are a couple banks.
Okay.
It's Digit. It's called the app. It's really cool, and it does take out just certain amounts.
What's the correct pronunciation?
We're not sure.
Okay.
and then you know the average is a couple hundred dollars a month or something.
Okay.
But the idea is that it fosters savings. Unconsciously or
from
subconsciously.
From money that you don't normally think is savable.
Right. So it's not, it's money that you have, you know you have it, but all of a sudden it's put away and you look 6 months later and you've got a couple grand in there.
Can you say what the startup is that he got $400 million for?
I don't have it in front of me.
Was it a food business or a service?
Even,
oh, okay.
It was some bit of software, I think.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right. All right. Great. That and many other things.
The biggest organic farming show in the country, I think, is next week in La Crosse conference. And so we're going to talk about the business of organic farming,
where
too.
The average person can go to this event, or is it just a conference?
No, they have
organic
walk-ins.
Farmers.
No, I mean, in fact, what's funny you say that, 5% of their attendees are commercial, regular conventional farmers.
Because we have a couple.
They like to be abused. I don't know why.
We have a couple of organic farms out near Princeton, down in Tiscawa. And apparently to get certified as an organic farm, you can't do it if your farm fields are next to a standard farm field that uses...
Well, you can as long as you keep that drift off, and that's one of the
How
issues.
How can you do that? You can't control it,
no.
right?
Well, no, you can't. And so there's this whole argument, too, about whether organic farmers who are up and running, and then their products, you know, come under this drift, so they test for pesticides.
Okay.
Who's responsible for that? Because the organic farmers had a lot of money.
Right.
So can you go to the conventional farmer and sue and things like
or
that?
Or say, don't do your last 10 rows or something like that.
Right.
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 Yeah. Interesting.
They say you can see by row because there's certain weeds that just don't show up.
Oh,
where there's pesticide
or it's
drift.
Been drifting.
Right.
Oh, interesting.
The All business right. lunch.
There you go, Steve Bertrand. We've had a lot of silly things that we've talked about today. And I want to address something that's pretty serious. Because I know two families that were affected by suicide. I may know more because people don't talk about it a lot. There was a wonderful piece online recently that I read. And it's a woman who says more than 2 years after her son's suicide, she still has a hard time opening up about it with those outside her closest circle. Obviously, her closest friends know. But she says, I always said we lost Luke.
Mm-hmm.
I never tell people how we lost Luke unless they ask me. And she said, now I don't hold back anymore. My brother died by suicide. My brother struggled. This is the sister that said, people don't know what to say to us. They don't know how to console us. If I told them that he had a heart attack, they'd be like, oh, I'm so sorry. That must have been so sudden. But if you tell somebody that your loved one died of suicide, the wall goes up. And they don't know how to deal with it. And then for those of us left, that just leaves you feeling even worse.
But the wall goes up out of sensitivity, don't you think?
Well, I don't know, because why is that different than another way to die? Certainly there have to be people listening who have lost a loved one to suicide. And what has been for you the most comforting thing? Why can't you say to somebody the same thing you would say he died of a heart attack. Oh gosh, that must be so hard on you. Or you must be struggling, or
right.
What a hard time for your family. Why does that have to be different than if somebody died another way?
Well, that's a good question, but I don't have the answer to it. I mean, I don't know. But
maybe someone who is from a family that lost a family member to suicide would be able to address that. Because I know in the two cases of the people that I knew who died of suicide, it was never in one case, the person's Facebook page stayed up for probably 2 months, and then the family took it down. On the other one, a memorial site has been set up, and it never, ever comes up. Nobody ever, you know, in some cases, people might say, oh, gosh, a great way to honor our love for him would be to donate to the Cancer Society. If right. the person died of cancer it's just such an awkward thing.
Well, what I want to say is that it's more painful to have lost, but that's not fair to the people who've lost someone to a heart attack.
Right, exactly. It's painful to lose somebody. It's more painful to lose somebody suddenly. And it seems at some level that it's more painful to lose somebody when they died at their own hand.
Because maybe it seems more avoidable.
Maybe.
If you die...
Right. And what these people are saying that are sort of in this movement now is it wouldn't be shameful if we talked about it.
Right.
If we said, you know, Karen took her own life, or Karen died of suicide.
Well, and to take it a step further, if it is more avoidable, then it's something that someone could have helped avoid. And then that you're transferring that, which is
and that's not necessarily true.
Absolutely not, and not fair in any case.
Not fair, exactly.
But I'm just saying maybe that's where it comes from.
Maybe it is. So for those of you out there who are listening and can relate, we would love for you to call us and talk about it. 312-981-7200. It's the Kathy and Judy Show this week while Judy's on vacation with Steve Bertrand. And we're talking about suicide.
Well, I'm with you. Judy's not on vacation with me, right?
Oh, you're right. Correct. You. Yes, Steve's here and Judy's not. So we're talking about people who have lost someone to suicide, how difficult it is to discuss that. And if you have lost somebody, if you've lost somebody to suicide, what kind of things can people say that are helpful to you? Dan, you lost a child to suicide.
Yes, I did. My wife and I lost our 25-year-old son 11 years ago yesterday.
And you, at the time, did most people know that he committed suicide, or was it just not discussed?
No, word got around pretty fast as to what happened because there was no apparent sign that was going to happen. There's a great awkwardness when people realize that that's the cause. Partly because I think that there's a belief that the person that died by suicide was trying to escape something that was very, very painful, which is frequently the case. They just don't know if that was you.
You mean that you might have been the thing they were trying to escape?
Yes, and it's such an awkward issue that I think people say their first response typically was, I can't possibly imagine what you're going through. And I think the best grace that family member can say is, you're right, prior to yesterday or prior to whenever, I couldn't have possibly understood it either.
So is that for somebody to say that is not inappropriate to say, I can't imagine what you're going through?
It's acknowledging that they're in a deep place of grief that you can't even pretend to understand. And if you say, I understand, you better be able to support that you've been right where they are.
Oh, you mean that they've also lost a child to suicide.
Yep. And in the same way. And there, I think you were commenting on how does it compare? Well, it's almost to me like it's a double death because it's the loss, which whether you saw it coming or not saw it coming, but they're trying to wrestle with the whys. You don't get answers to why very readily. I kind of know why my son did, and it's relative to his birth mother and things like that that he struggled with. But it doesn't take away from life. And because of my faith in Christ, the best thing for me was to know that he was assured of his salvation. Doesn't matter if he still had pains on earth.
I know where he is today, and that is great consolation.
And that's, you know, a comfort.
It's interesting
to
me your reaction that you said that people are awkward toward you because they think that your son was trying to escape something and maybe it was you. And did anyone ever verbalize that to you? Or because it seems to me like maybe almost, I wonder if that's your creation and it's really not what people were thinking.
It, that's a great point, because that's, I think, where the family member wrestles is, what did I do wrong? Or what could I have done to prevent
it? Exactly. What could I have done? And in both cases.
And so that's a deep, that's that second death I kind of describe it as. But I think that there is the potential that somebody doesn't want to even say, like, were you two having problems? They just don't know how to go down that road.
Right. It's just, and certainly they personalize it, because certainly there's a level of, oh my gosh, if it happened to you, could it happen to me?
Absolutely right. And it's increasing in frequency. It's great that you're bringing exposure to it, but it demands that family members be very aware of what's going on in their lives, of their children especially. But it's happening at all ages now.
It is.
It's a desire to escape and get away from pain. And what we were told was, you weren't even in the picture.
Exactly.
He was killing the pain.
In the darkness. Right. In the darkness that precedes suicide, the love of other people around you, it can't get through the darkness. It just can't get through.
I agree. And I'll wrap up with this, because I know you have others. When people ask me to describe it, it would be similar to a traumatic injury. There's different types of pain, you know, that initial trauma, then maybe the slow recovery, then you've got therapy, which is trying to bring about use again, and then you finally are just missing your arm or missing the use of your arm. There's different stages, so it's not just time heals.
Right.
But I would really encourage people to make sure that they stand by their friends or family members, especially months down the road when everybody else's life has returned to normal.
Sure, it's not over in a couple of months. Dan, thank you for the call, and sorry for the loss of your child.
I appreciate it. Thanks.
Uh-huh. This is... Colleen, hi. Colleen, what's your take on this?
Hi. My stepfather committed suicide about 22 years ago. And, you know, there's a darkness. I would agree with the first caller. And the whole family looks around at each other about, why didn't we see this, and why did this happen?
What didn't we do?
Exactly. But I think the point is, around the United States, and I've lived in a couple different regions, some regions are more adept to talking about depression and understanding that it's okay for people to seek help and treatment and things like that. I was very surprised in moving to Chicago 4 years ago. My daughter now struggles with depression. And it was very common when in Georgia for us to be able to talk to our friends about that. Here, it was kind of a closed topic.
Well, do you suppose that's because you were new here in Georgia? You had an established circle of friends?
And that could have been. And it slowly came out over the years that, you know, other classmates had depression. Or my daughter would run into, other students at the therapist's office. And, you know, it's like, wow, I didn't know. And it's really an important topic for parents to wrap their head around and be very supportive if they see signs that their children are depressed.
And make sure
they get that support.
It's important for people who struggle with depression to be able to say that. For all of the stuff that came out after the death of Robin Williams, after the suicide of Robin Williams, all the stuff, all the awareness about depression, one of the things that I saw that seemed so right on target was to say, a guy did a TED talk, I think, and he said, you just have to be able to say 4 words, I struggle with depression. Just like you'd say to somebody, I'm struggling with cancer right now, or I'm struggling with impetigo, or whatever your struggle is with, to be able to acknowledge it and just say, I struggle with depression. I'm not ashamed of it. It's just something that's going on in my body.
Right. It's an illness, and it's okay to admit to it, and it's okay to seek help.
Exactly.
Just as you would any other item.
Exactly. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Okay. 312-981-7200 is our number. We can take your texts too. And we're just talking about suicide. And if you have lost somebody to suicide, what has been helpful for you in terms of the support that you receive from people, or what people have verbalized that is helpful? Because it's not always easy for people to know what to say.
Well, I think that's what the point I was trying to make at the beginning was that people's awkward and odd and, you know, bad reaction isn't done out of malice.
They just don't know. Well, and it's, I mean, I've stood in lines.
Well, we don't know.
Right. I've stood in lines where people died of cancer or heart attacks or whatever, and people don't know what to
say. Right.
It's just really difficult. This is Mary. Hi, Mary.
Hi, how are you?
Okay, thanks. What was your comment?
My comment just is that I feel that society as a whole still sees depression as a weakness in your character. And until we start talking about it, as previous callers have said, and address depression as an illness, as any other illness.
You know, that's so interesting, because one of our texters, and I'm looking for it right now, here it is, and this, I think, reflects that mindset. Somebody said, because suicide was a choice they made, cancer and heart attack are uncontrollable circumstances. And that mindset that says, somebody chose to do this, and...
But there is some of that.
There's some of that mindset, but it's not true. It's not. It's imagine.
I'm totally with you.
Okay.
But it's more true than if you're T-boned in a car accident, right? I mean, if you are T-boned in a car accident, you likely never had an opportunity to be helped or to reach out for help to be saved.
Okay, but...
Right, but you did not choose to have depression.
Right, because when you're at that place, when it is so dark that's the only way you see out, it's not a choice.
Oh, I don't disagree with you, Kathy, but I'm just saying there were more... You know, to say it was more avoidable makes it sound like there's some responsibility. And I think but that's not what I'm saying, right?
Okay.
I mean, there seems to have been more possibilities for avoiding it than a weird fatal illness that you're stricken with. Yes.
I don't know. Some people have heart attacks because they're grossly overweight.
Sure,
that seems
right?
like
I
that,
agree.
You know, that could have been a choice. Sorry.
People also think it's a very selfish act. I've heard that many times.
Right. How could they do this to you?
Well, and
right.
that's acceptable. That's what bothers me. People say that. Well,
right.
It was so selfish.
Right.
I don't know why we allow that.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm sorry we don't have more time, Mary, but thank you for your call.
You're welcome.
Okay. Bye-bye.